You're listening to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of LA Magazine. Here are your hosts, Brian and Gina.
Hey, everybody, what's up? Welcome to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. I'm Gina Grad.
Well, that would make me Brian Bishop.
And we have a very special guest that's just jumping in with us because why the hell not? They don't always deserve, the kind of the bad mouthing we do behind their back before they actually come on. Sometimes we have to do it to their face.
What's got to be done has got to be done.
So without further ado, let's introduce a huge comic juggernaut that everybody loves. And oh, nothing happens to be a friend of ours. The very wonderful, wonderful Brad Williams. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. And yeah, you don't have to say horrible things about me behind my back. I read your Twitter feeds. So it's totally fine.
Perfect.
Totally fine. All good.
We're all on the same page, right?
I don't know if Gina set you up, Brad, but you're a working comic here in Los Angeles, and we want to talk about the LA comedy scene as it pertains to you, things you've observed, things you've experienced. So we'll pepper you with questions.
Fantastic. Thankfully, the LA comedy scene is one of the best. There are different comedy hubs that are popping up all over the country right now. You got your Austin's with your Joe Rogan Comedy Club opening up there. You got your Nashville's, New York, obviously still doing great, Chicago. But for those holy shit moments, I don't know if I can curse on this one.
Please.
But for those moments that you sit back and go, oh my God, I can't believe I was in the audience for that. It's tough to beat Los Angeles. Los Angeles provides those, oh my God, only here, only in LA type moments.
Well, that's so great to hear that we actually, because, I always think like, oh, our audience is too jaded, but I'm glad to hear like shows are still popping off. And like Brian and I always say, we constantly get questions. Where do you see celebrities? Where can I find stars? And Brian very astutely at one point says, go to a comedy club. You wouldn't believe the drop-ins. I mean, you don't have to pay $100 for a ticket elsewhere.
No, it when people ask me that question that are visiting from out of town, I say two answers. I say one, LAX. You will see celebrities at LAX at the baggage claim. Now, they won't be in a good mood to say hi to you, and they won't be looking good for a photo. They won't be wanting to take one.
But so they'll be there.
They'll be
but
there.
They'll be there, technically. And then the next best option is a comedy club. Constantly, if you look at the lineups on some of the clubs, these are lineups that could fill stadiums. The other night, I was at the Comedy Store. Literally last night, it was Andrew Santino, who is currently playing 4,000-seat theaters. It was Eliza Schlesinger, who is also currently playing 4,000-seat theaters. And me, who is doing close to that. It just there you see three big name headliner comedians, and that's kind of an off night for the Comedy Store. Very frequently you'll go there, and Sebastian Maniscalco will be there. And
Chris Rock.
Chris Rock. I watched his most recent Netflix special. I watched him run it at the Comedy Store without the Will Smith stuff in the end. I watched him run that a week before the Oscars. So. Yeah, you can have moments like that all the time. Recently, the Comedy Store announced, hey, there's a special headliner in the belly room. The show is in 2 hours. Buy your tickets right now. It sold out in 15 seconds, and it was Dave Chappelle.
There you go.
So,
and that's how hardcore the audience is. And that's the goodwill that Comedy Store has built up, saying, we won't tell you who, but we're just telling you to buy tickets, and they're gone.
Yeah. And it's not just the Comedy Store. Let's say you want to see, one of the biggest celebrity comics. Let's say you want to see Jay Leno, and you're like, oh, he hosted The Tonight Show for all those years. I would love to see someone like Jay Leno. Great. He's at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Mm-hmm. Every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Every
Years.
Sunday.
I've done
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been there to watch.
Yeah. And you have the salmon and you watch Jay Leno, and it's a great time. So there's so many. And on top of that, sure, you have the big name clubs. You have the Improv. You have the Laugh Factory. You have the Comedy Store. You have the Comedy Magic Club. Don't sleep on Flappers in Burbank.
Burbank.
Good club where oftentimes comics will pop in that are unannounced. I mean, then you have all these other rooms. You have your Jam in the Van that's down in Santa Monica. You have you have the Ha Ha Comedy Club, which is in North Hollywood. They just opened up one in Bellflower, which a bunch of comics are going to. You have the Long Beach Laugh Factory. You have the Comedy Magic Club, Hermosa Beach. You have all these spots. And then, oh, you know, at the Ace Hotel, you'll see Jim Jefferies. Or at the Forum, you can see Bill Burr. When he's not popping in at the Comedy Store, he's been popping in at the Comedy Store recently. So literally just all these clubs, I would say do your research. I would say if you're coming out to visit Los Angeles, follow them on social media to get an idea what the lineups are like. They post the lineups, but it's always going to be a great show. I challenge, especially with like the big three or four comedy clubs, it's always a great show. You're never going to have a bad one.
Gina, we'd be remiss not to mention the Ice House in Pasadena, where you and I have done a few live shows in the past.
How dare you, Brad?
Which just reopened.
That's right. Now,
and I was there opening weekend. It was fantastic. The Ice House also offers something kind of crazy if you're a little more high end and you want some bougie with your comedy. I don't like bougie with my comedy. I like to be in the room. But if you like bougie, the Ice House has a special VIP room that is in the back that has a two-way mirror. So we can't see in. You can see out. And you have a private bartender, private food service, and you can watch the show back there. So if you want to entertain some clients, if you want, or if you're a big-name celebrity, obviously they're all listening to this podcast. If you're Bald Brian and you are
right rolls deep,
the finer,
this is literally the first I've heard about this.
And Brian, I'm sure you're tired of getting recognized constantly at these comedy shows.
They go, hey, Moby's here.
So you can get the VIP room at the Ice House in Pasadena. Just went through a complete renovation, millions of dollars to remodel it. It was bought by Johnny Buss, whose dad obviously
sounds familiar for the Forum, Lakers.
Brother of Jeannie Buss, who currently runs the Lakers. So they dumped a lot of money into it, and he modeled it after the Forum Club in the 70s and 80s.
All right.
So it's definitely got that old school Hollywood feel to it. So I'd be reminiscent. You know, I let's talk about the Ice House. All these options are there.
Well, Jeannie Buss is also in comedy, or should I say comedy's in her?
Very good, Jay Moore.
Shout out Jay Moore.
Big shout out Jay Moore.
But yeah, so all these options are there, and I would say buy your tickets early, because I've had friends that are like, "Oh, you're at the Comedy Store. We're gonna pop in. Can you leave us some tickets or whatever?" And it's like, dude, it's sold out. Like,
yeah, I wish I could
get your tickets early. You know, that I would advise that for any of these clubs, and do your research, because sometimes people show up and they see a certain comic and they're like, oh, this is going to be just like Jay Leno. And it's not exactly their sensibilities.
Right.
So there's having all these comedy clubs here, you're going to have all these comedic options. If you like dirty comedy, you can find that. If you like clean comedy, you can find that. Whatever is your thing, we have it here in Los Angeles.
What would you consider, or would you consider, is there a place in LA that you consider your like home club? Or are you just kind of a journeyman? Store. You are. Okay. You're a true blue, like, Comedy Store dude.
Yeah.
Who and eviscerates the disabled on stage, by the way.
Yes, well, I do. If you are a fellow disabled person and you come to my show. I'm glad you said that, Gina, because there's not just the standard stand-up comedy shows at these clubs. There's really inventive, fun shows that are available to you in Los Angeles. One of these shows is the Roast Battle. The Roast Battle is every Tuesday night at the Comedy Store in the Belly Room. The Belly Room is the smallest of all the rooms.
It's There's more three, intimate. Right? There's the original, the main, and the Belly.
Yep.
Right?
And the Belly is the smallest room. Very intimate. You want to talk about celebrities? Jeff Ross is pretty much judging every week, and celebrities are popping in to that. Like, so I was recently just judging Roast Battle, and I was up there, and I'm sitting down, and then this absolute behemoth of a man sits down next to me, and I'm and like kind of bumps me, so I have to move over because he can barely fit. He's huge. He's good. He's good looking. And I just look up at him like, who the heck? And then he looks over at me and goes, hi, I'm Travis. Nice to meet you. It's Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs.
So not limited to comics.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And that was just that. That's just your normal Tuesday night at the Comedy Store. Roast Battle recently asked me to do it. Well, a specific comedian asked me to battle him. His name is Joe Urel, and he has cerebral palsy. He's in a wheelchair, and he said, let's do the worst possible, like, let's roast each other. And I said, hell yes.
That is a perfect setup. Every time you release a new clip of you guys fucking with each other, I text you how brutal it was and how I'm crying laughing. Am I allowed to be crying laughing? So here's here's an example of what that roast battle looked like. And I texted Brett immediately after I saw this. We'll play it for you.
Yep.
What can I say about Joe that his birth parents haven't already screamed into a pillow? Joe's birth mother was an accountant because she was really good at numbers. Except giving him the right number of chromosomes.
Big talk from a guy who looks like a taxidermy fetus. Brad used to play peewee hockey as a kid. And now as an adult, he still plays peewee hockey.
Were people just absolutely out of their minds during this roast battle?
Yes, and for those of you who couldn't understand because it's an audio or you couldn't read the subtitles, he called me a taxidermied fetus.
He sure did.
Which is I've heard many insults in my day. I've never been called a taxidermied fetus. Bravo, Joe.
That was a great set.
They were going nuts. They knew people in that room. We did 5 rounds. They knew they were witnessing something special. In the end, it was called a draw. No one won.
Oh, that's good.
Of course,
we all won.
We all won.
Hey, question about home. You mentioned you guys talk about the home club. I assume every comic more or less has their club that they consider their primary residence. How much of that is based on proximity, and how much of that is based on this place has a vibe that I'm in line with?
I would say the majority of it is on proximity, but at the same time, there's just certain clubs that provide, like you say, a vibe, and there's a type of comic that it sort of flourishes there. I've always said this, and I think it's still true, and I don't think it's necessarily insulting to the comics or the clubs, because I play all of them, so it's not like it's specific. It's just if I'm speaking in generalities, and this is just with the big three, which is Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, Improv. Improv is typically your more industry club. That's where you're going to get some really good cerebral jokes. That's where you're going to get some really intelligent comedy and maybe a little more alternative. So that's what you'll get at the Improv. The Laugh Factory is definitely like, hey, we're putting on the show, jazz hands. If you're Midwest and you want the freaking night, go there. Go to the Laugh Factory. And the Comedy Store is sort of a hybrid of everything. It is a little bit of everything. And you also at the Comedy Store will have more of the pop-ins that you can kind of only get in Los Angeles, to where you can look in the lineup. I got one a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. I was on stage. I knew I was going to bring up Andy Letterman, and then who's a great comic, and I was ready for that. And then all of a sudden, I say, all right. So I look to the piano person who tells me, confirms who I'm bringing on. I say, I'm bringing up Andy. He goes, no, you're bringing up Leslie. And I brought up Leslie Jones.
Because
she was there. So, and brought her up, and she just she just destroyed the room. It was great. So the one thing that you'll often find at these clubs, and certainly at the Comedy Store, is you'll see the comics all lining up in the back. I've walked through the Comedy Store hallway one time, and I definitely had to pinch myself in this moment. And this is the main hallway that's kind of like the backbone of the club that connects all the rooms. And I'm just walking through, and there's Jim Gaffigan talking to Bert Kreischer, talking to Joe Rogan, talking to Bill Burr. And I just walked by like, oh, all right, I'm just going to kind of sit here for a second and kind of be a fly on the wall. I still remember the conversations. They were all complaining about their tour bus bathrooms. And then Bill Burr walks by and sees them all complaining about tour bus bathrooms and just goes, shut the fuck up. You're all driving fucking Teslas. Jesus Christ. We never knew we'd be this fucking rich. Shut up. It's a great fucking life. And it was awesome.
Oh my God. I didn't know it was possible. It was really good. And I didn't know it was possible to love him more, but that was, you just did it. And we're talking about, you know, all these various clubs and even some of the ones that fly a little bit under the radar. I'm not sure, and Brian, I don't know if you are, if this is still going, but you know how everyone pivoted during COVID and we still wanted comedy. People wanted it. We were doing it in parking lots. You know, like you said, mm-hmm. Jam in the Van. We were going down to, I want to say, Huntington Beach, Seal Beach, where we were literally on the sand doing a show.
Yeah, yeah. There was one in like North San Diego. Yeah, yeah. And there was one in Huntington Beach.
Yeah. Yeah, do you find yourself still doing stuff like that?
I go where they offer. You know,
where the money's green?
Yeah. I'll tell you the same thing that whenever I'm in like I was in Louisville, Kentucky a month ago and some guy saw me on the street and he recognized me. He's like, Brad, what are you doing here? Why are you here? And I go, the check clears. I'm here. It's fine.
I got to tell you, I love Louisville. When we went there, I fell in love with it.
Yeah. Fantastic city. And those shows are still happening. They're still pop-up shows everywhere. So if you want to do something that's even off the beaten path, you can follow comics on social media, yeah, and they'll be posting about these types of shows. Right now, I feel like Stefan. Right now, the new hot room,
a new club
in LA. It's on Hollywood Boulevard. It's called the Bourbon Room. And the Bourbon Room was originally supposed to be this performance space that would only do shows of Rock of Ages every night. That's what it was supposed to be. Because in the show Rock of Ages, the club or something, I haven't seen the show, but the club is apparently called the Bourbon Room.
Okay.
So that's what they named the bar. And that was the original intent. COVID happened. Everything kind of threw it all for a loop, but they pivoted. Now they're running great comedy shows all the time. It's right on Hollywood Boulevard. That's definitely one of the more sexy shows.
Yeah, that's a nice looking room.
Yeah, if you're looking for the young, hot Hollywood early 20s, obviously the crowd you rolled with, Brian.
Yeah.
That's where they hang out. There's also a room. There's a comedian named Jay Davis. You may remember him. He was on the old HBO Dane Cook show, the Insomnia Tour. No, not whatever. Tourgasm. That's what it was. And he was the opening act. He now runs a room at the Yamashiro restaurant.
Oh,
Yamashiro is a high-end sushi restaurant. Yeah. It's got some of the best views in Los Angeles. It's right in the heart of Hollywood. And they have a comedy show there. And it's great. You go there, you have some amazing sushi, you sit down. And that's a really small room. So, and that's definitely like the party room. It's the party vibe. I'm not going to say that I saw some people in the audience doing some illegal substances while
no,
I was on stage.
You wouldn't do that.
But I'm not going to not say that wasn't
got it. We talked ad nauseum a couple weeks ago about how we've kind of, I definitely have, and then I think reminded Brian, how I have re-fallen in love with Largo. And this the sort of birth of the And Friends show, where everyone just kind of comes on and you don't know what you're going to get. Are you ever over there?
I've never done Largo, but man, it is on my sort of comedy bucket list.
Yeah.
Largo, I can't believe I forgot Largo. It's this small theater and it's what street is it on?
It's on La Cienega.
La Cienega.
On La Cienega.
La Cienega, right by the Beverly Center. And it's almost, I'd say it's like a 300-person room.
Yeah, and it's like this, it's all near all the fancy restaurants and sort of the restaurant row of Hollywood. And that's a night where you'll see Patton Oswalt and friends.
That's
who
we just Patton did, Oswalt's, yeah.
Who are Patton Oswalt's friends? Well, it might be John Mulaney. It might be Sarah Silverman. It might be Judd Apatow. It might be Dana Carvey.
When we went, it was Ron Funches and a bunch of hilarious people.
Yeah, I've heard numerous stories of Conan O'Brien popping in there. That's sort of where he goes, because that's the Largo is definitely like the, okay, you are tuned into the comedy scene. You know what's happening. You know all the comedians. That if you can get to a Largo show, I would highly recommend it. That's where like Larry David will occasionally pop in and just go on stage and do what he does and complain.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, sure.
So yeah, I'm so glad you brought up Largo. But yeah, that's another room. So you have, like we said before, all these options, and they're all amazing. And it's really just take your pick. Go to their websites, see the lineups, buy your tickets early, and really you can kind of get a vibe for how you can sort of have your ideal Los Angeles only in Hollywood comedy night.
Now, you obviously, I mean, it needs no introduction that you were hosting Cirque du Soleil in Vegas, Nothing, with the Bad Apple?
Mad Apple. Mad Apple.
The Mad Apple show. So we're not going to count that because that's a horse of a different color. But in terms of you being a touring comic and you go everywhere and you've seen everything and you also do so much here, can you give us an example of like how the vibe is different out of town, or if there's a city that like loves comedy and reacts way, or they're just kind of not into it and you're like, why was I booked here? Like, what is it like out there?
For the most part, comedy is going through, I don't know if it's a boom, a renaissance, if it's just like post COVID, like we're all getting back out there, or maybe we all listen to so many podcasts over COVID. Right. But comedy, there's smart, really good fans everywhere now. I'm going to cities now where I'm just like, really? Here? Oh, okay. And they're great. So whether it be Louisville, Kentucky, whether it be – I was in Richmond, Virginia a couple of weeks ago, and that was awesome. We're selling out shows. We're adding shows. I mean, yeah. Is it different than L.A.? Sure, because – LA is I will say they are a little jaded, and they do want sort of the celebrity experience, some of the rooms, and for some of the audience members. But whereas you go to another city, they're excited. They're very excited to see the comic they bought the ticket for.
Sure.
When I tell people who don't live here in Los Angeles about going to like to parties and stuff in LA, they go, "What's like an LA party like?" I go, well, you're having a conversation with someone while they're looking around the room to find the more famous person to have the conversation with.
For a better conversationalist.
Yep. That's kind of, to some degree, that is what is happening with some comedy shows where they're just like, oh, holy shit, Neil Brennan's on stage right now, but I wonder if Eliza Schlesinger is going to pop in. Like, it's just like they're all kind of waiting for the next big thing. Whereas you go to, some of the great comedy cities, Denver, Nashville, stuff like that, Seattle, they're just stoked. And they're all so tuned into comedy now. There's so many comics now that are just killing it, selling out multiple shows at theaters. There's obviously with your Burt Kreischer's, you got stadium comics now.
Right.
So go see his movie, The Machine.
That's right. Yeah.
With Mark Hamill.
Yeah, with him and Mark Hamill. Who knew? So, yeah, it's just an exciting time to be a comedian because there's all these different types of shows and there's all these really, really intelligent audiences that will come up and say, hey, like it used to be, it just was like, oh, I saw your special or I saw your Tonight Show. Now people come up to me and go, dude, I heard you on Bad Friends podcast. That was awesome. I saw your This Is Not Happening. That was great. And like, they're bringing up these things that are a little more niche, but are still just attracting a lot of great comedy fans.
It seems like the ubiquity of podcasts has really blown the comedy scene up. Like you said, cities big and small. It used to be you can count on, I guess, a number of cities to be good cities or good towns or whatever. Now it's catch as catch can.
It really is. And the cool part about, like you say, all the podcasting is it used to be your fans could just keep in touch with you, or they just knew they would experience you when you were in their town. Like right. The one time a year you would go to Salt Lake City, that's when they knew they could experience you. But now it's like they can get, if you have a podcast or a YouTube show or whatever, they're interacting with you every week. Social media, they're interacting with your posts, they're interacting with your clips, they're getting content from you all the time. So you're never too far from people's frontal lobe. Like, you're always right there, and they're stoked to be a part of it, and they're always looking forward to when you're coming back. But they're with you the whole time. Like, I had a moment recently. It was in Virginia, and I was on stage, and I looked down, and on the front table, there's a picture, a drawn piece of art, and it's of my daughter.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
Oh, I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah, and it was just like, it's a photo I posted of her on Instagram. A fan saw it, loved it. She's a painter. She painted this amazing photo of my daughter, and then she just has it, like, right there on the front table. I started crying during the show. I was, bawling. But,
yeah, that's what audiences want.
Yeah, but it was like this really cool moment. And then sort of like I've talked about, people got those only in LA stories. That's a moment where that audience in particular was like, we're seeing something no one else is seeing. This is not part of the show. It's not a plant. He doesn't get a photo in every city.
Right.
So like, even though you're not necessarily in Hollywood, one of the reasons why I love stand-up comedy so much, and because I get people that come out all the time and they say like, we've watched your specials, but this is so much better. And I'm like, yes, live. It's so much better. You don't know what's going to happen. There are those holy shit, only right now, live in the moment. We just saw this moment and no other show is going to get to experience this. That will happen constantly on the road shows as well. So it's a really great time to be a stand-up comic. It's a lot of fun.
And I, it's funny when you say nobody else is going to see this. What immediately comes to mind is hecklers / crowd work, which, sure. You know, I know you can, you know, handle yourself with the best of them. A comedian that I think does a particularly fine job with both is, I don't know if you've met him before. You should look him up. His name's Adam Ray.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I'm familiar.
Yeah, that guy. Okay, yeah. He used to have a show with him, one of your best friends. Whenever wouldn't you also consider him like a master of crowd work?
Oh, absolutely. And it's just, and it doesn't matter what happens during the show. He'll take it and make it his own and make a moment out of it. I just saw a clip, literally you brought him up. I just saw a clip of someone who just kept saying, I love you to him during a show. And like, he would address it and then he would just go, yo, you understand, I love you. And like, he made a really great bit out of it that audience knows that, all right, that doesn't happen every night. Like, and so now, don't get me wrong, we're not encouraging you.
Yeah, please. God, please.
Try to make these moments. Don't worry. We're the comedians. We know what we're doing. It's a weird thing where I'll do a show. I'll do a meet and greet afterward. There'll be a moment or something during the show. Somebody will yell out. And then that person will come up to me during the meet and greet like, hey, man, I really helped you out there. Yeah. Like, no, you didn't. No, you didn't.
In spite of you, I had a good show.
Yeah. You put a roadblock in front of our show, and I'm just that damn good that I spun your shit into gold. So let us do the material that we know that we're good at, that we know works. And if something organic happens, great. But don't come into that. Don't come into the show thinking like, all my friends say I'm the funny guy. And now I'm seeing another comedian be the funny person. And now I'm threatened by it, because if they're the funny person, then who am I? I'm having an identity crisis. Let's yell some shit out so I can be the. Don't
make me go viral for the wrong reasons by like attacking.
Yeah.
The mic stand.
It's not going to be fun for you. And there was I had a moment recently where someone yelled something out, and I and I got him, I shot him back, and then they yelled out again, and I just went, are you proud of that? Are you proud?
Great question.
And he kind of stopped, and he's like, nah, I wasn't proud of it. I go, right, exactly. Yeah. So don't, like,
yeah.
I
can do
this.
Yeah.
Or I can just do the material that I know works, but and he shut up the rest of the time, which was a nice little moment. Shame is fun.
Yeah. And actually, that I've always wondered this, and I'm sure it varies from club to club. How many, is it three strikes you're out? When do you end up having involuntary help from security or from a club owner, or do they just expect you to dance?
It depends on the club. Some clubs, the club is closed down, so I could talk shit about it now.
Okay.
Good.
I was at a club in Baltimore, and Baltimore Comedy Factory. And they did a midnight show, and the whole thing with the midnight show on a Saturday is it was you pay one flat fee, and then it's all you can drink.
So you're seeing people at their best.
Yes. What could go wrong? Like, you pay $40, and then it's all you can drink, no question. We just keep serving you.
No.
So I'm on stage, and at some point, an audience member walks up on stage and just is standing next to me. He's drunk as heck and just starts doing the Dougie. He just starts like, he just starts like dancing like that.
And,
yeah. And I'm making fun of him, and the audience laughs. But he didn't move. He just stayed there. And I'm trying to talk to him, and he's not moving. And I'm looking around the club, and I'm like, hey, is anyone gonna, nope, nothing's happening. No one helped. No one came on stage. And I did another maybe 10 minutes. I did like 25 minutes as a headliner set. That's not what I do. I do an hour. That is my headliner set. I did 25 minutes, and the guy's still there.
So I said, you know what? You did your jokes with him still on stage?
Kinda, but not the full hour. I just did a 25-minute set.
Yeah.
And then I said, I can't do this anymore. And I said, we're done. And I went to the owner. I was like, what the hell was that? Like, I only did 25 minutes because of that guy. He goes, yeah, man, happens every week. And I'm like, well, then stop doing this fucking show.
It feels like that's where you draw the line. Like, if you're yelling or you're obnoxious or whatever, like, you know, we can deal with that or you know, or not. But if someone gets on the stage, that's a bit of a crossing the line.
Well, and these days, too, especially with Will Smith, like, nobody's allowed anymore.
No. And there's definitely been, there was a moment, there's a great comedy club in Buffalo, New York, Helium Comedy Club. It's fantastic. They have it's funny you say Will Smith, because they have a security guard there whose name is Will Smith. That's his real name.
All right.
He's a very large African-American gentleman. Nice. And I got a heckler one time, and she was about ready to charge the stage, and she was trying to move towards the stage, like doing some sort of slow, like she was the villain from the movie The Ring, just like slowly crawling towards the stage. Will walked by and in one motion just picked her up, swooped her up, walked her right out. It was awesome. It was awesome. The whole crowd started chanting, you know, the whole na 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 na, hey hey, goodbye to her. It was awesome.
Do you remember what the woman's beef was? Like, was she upset at the material?
Yes, I do remember it very clearly. So, and this is how drunk she was. I used to do this bit, and it actually went viral recently. Kind of
recirculating.
Recirculated again. Found footage, Brian. Your
that's
favorite.
Right. Unearthed.
Loves unearthed.
Unearthed footage that's been available for years. So I used to do this long joke about how I went overseas and I did shows and I did USO shows, and it was great. And there's a long bit about me going on a Black Hawk helicopter where a guy actually had to throw me into the helicopter because that's the only way I can get in. And it's a great bit. It's very rah-rah. It's very pro-soldier. All she heard was soldiers.
Mm.
And then she has a son who was apparently serving at the time.
Oh, boy.
And she just got up and was like, fuck you, my son is serving over there. And I went, yeah, fine. I didn't say anything bad about him. Great, good for you. You did a good job. You motherfucker. And then, like, just still, like, getting mad. And I'm like, I'm sure, he's defending your freedom to be a C-word right now.
Yeah, yeah,
And that was the line. That was, like, no, now I'm coming for you. And yeah, that was the joke. But thankfully, that, as we have found out in recent years, the better Will Smith was there, and he scooped her up, took her out. It was great. So yeah, that's going to happen. But most clubs, to answer your original question, Gina, most clubs, they come by, they give you a warning. They say, hey, you're talking a little too loudly. But by the way, biggest pet peeve, do not ever be like, we're just laughing. Because I get that all the time. I get messages, hey, we were kicked out of your show for fucking laughing. And I'm like, no, you weren't.
Yeah, they found you for a reason. Yeah.
It's never happened in the history of comedy clubs. They're not looking over the audience and be like, who's laughing? Who's having too much fun?
Too much mirth.
Yeah, you're laughing too loudly at these jokes. Let's get you out of here. It's never happened. So, yeah, so usually get one warning, and then they'll come to you again. That's usually, you know, strike. And it is kind of like three strikes, you're out. Yeah. Well, they'll come to you and they'll be like, all right, we can't keep doing this every 10 minutes, every 5 minutes. Also, a little secret. If a comedian ever looks at you and says, hey, bartender, waiter, waitress, get them a glass of water, that's usually the code. You're out. That's usually the code to get out of here.
Gina, wasn't Brad on stage with us once when a woman got kicked out?
Yes.
That was you, right?
I think it was Brad. I think it was pre-me.
Okay.
So I've seen the clip, but I wasn't part of it.
Yeah. That's definitely happened. And you know, you just say the code word, and
that's good to know.
And much as we've talked about before, like when that guy got kicked off the flight, the United flight, and they're dragging him out, like, because he's refusing to leave. Once the comedy club has come up to you and said, hey, you're out of here, you're not going to say anything that makes them reconsider their opinion. You're not going to be like, no, I'm not. I'm fine. I'm going to stay to the show. No, that's not. They're not going to be like, oh, well, now that you say that, sure, you can stay.
Yeah, so consider the comedy club owner TSA.
Yes. Yes. Once they say you're not getting on this plane, you're not going to say something that's going to change their mind. You are out. So just go be an adult. Enjoy yourself. Yeah. Laugh. Shut up. Laugh. Shut up. Laugh. Shut up. If you do that,
get that
wonderful
drop.
Pattern,
yes!
you will never get kicked out of a comedy club. You know, don't laugh and then turn to your table and be like, that's so true. You did that. That's what you do all the time. And it's not going to go well for you.
I wanted to ask, I want to broach a topic that you can talk as much or as little about as you want, but I've long been curious about this, especially with, you know, working comics like yourself. You alluded earlier to, you know, there's so many comics, everyone's getting the game and it's so wide open. We see a lot now, non-comics, I'm making air quotes, because like you'll see like a YouTube star, or you'll see an influencer, or a reality star, or an MMA fighter, or whatever it is, without, you know, naming any names. But you see it a lot. And I'm wondering whether I'm curious in your opinion personally, but what's the general vibe and attitude? Because comedians have a sense to be, or have a predilection to be, very proprietary over their profession and their stuff. So please, by all means.
So I will say this. I will say that if you're going to see a comedy show and you're looking at the comedy calendar and you're trying to choose who you're going to go see, choose the person that you like or you know because they are a comedian. Choose that person that you like because they are a comedian. Don't choose the person where you're like, oh, that guy, he slept with this actress, I want to go see him do stand-up. That's probably not gonna it is amazing to me how much respect and how much disrespect comedians get at the same time. Uh-huh. Stand-up comedy is wildly known amongst everyone who works in entertainment as the hardest thing to do in entertainment. It is it is the minus being a stuntman, I think. I might even say pro wrestler is harder. Wow. But like it's the hardest thing to do. And yet so many people just think, well, I got canceled from, you know, I got caught doing this thing. I'll just go to stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And I'll just do the hardest thing. Or my favorite one was when Charlie Sheen had his epic meltdown
blow up.
I was just
thinking about this.
And then, like, the week after he gets fired from Two and a Half Men goes, I'm going to go on a comedy tour.
Taking it on tour.
Yeah. Never done stand-up before. Never. And I'm not even mad at the person. I'm not mad at Charlie. That's a money grab. Fine. You're going out there. You're trying to make money. I'm mad at the person who buys a ticket and then is disappointed when the show sucks.
Right.
It's like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, they'd figure it out. Like, no, they wouldn't.
No, they don't.
It takes us years, 10 years to get, at least, to get like really, really good at this job. So, yeah, I would say in terms of your mostly actors, now, don't get me wrong. There are actors out there that are also doing comedy nightly or weekly. They're like it's both. They got their feet in both worlds.
Well, the two names that come to mind are Judd Apatow, Jeremy Piven. I can't think of anyone else. But yeah, but that are out there working on. Yes.
One of those guys is out there.
Okay.
I have thoughts on one of them.
I would have never known.
I would just say that, man, Judd Apatow is good at stand up and he's a great director.
Yeah,
and
he's out there grinding. Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. So, but I would say there are exceptions, but for the most part, go see someone that you truly believe is a good comedian, that you know for being a good comedian, that you know for being funny, you know what I mean? Like that's who you should go see. Not the person that like, well, they just did this action movie and now they're going to do stand up.
I know how hard Brian worked to get 10 minutes together for a giant
mediocre 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Very, very great a set. I've done it years ago and realized I just have so many roadblocks. My monitor's on. I'm terrified. I'm better, you know, typing it and ripping it and giving it to somebody else than going, so who's from around here? It's just too scary. And I have nothing but the utmost respect for a person who is armed. Their only weapon is a tool that makes them louder on stage. So anything they say is under a microphone. It's sometimes I've seen it. I don't know why this happens. Probably the all you can drink, but it feels like the audience against the comedian. Like, why are you here? Why are you here?
Why are you here?
Jokes.
Yeah.
So
it's
so much
mind-boggling.
Props to you. Yeah.
Thank
so,
you. And that's probably why when comedians, I can meet any comic that's like, if you've been doing it for a year, if you've been doing it 20 years, if I meet a comic, I immediately have that connection with them where I could like, there's a story that I love. I think it was told on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, the Chris Rock episode. Chris Rock is talking to Jerry Seinfeld about a story where they were at a party one time and one of those Hollywood parties, and Chris sees Jerry, runs across the room, runs right up to him, grabs him by the shoulders and goes, comedian. And he's saying that because it's like, oh, finally someone who gets me, someone I can talk to, someone that can tell a damn story. We are sort of a special ilk. We're in a special club, and it's a fantastic club to be in. And because most of us, myself included, we're all still fans. We're fans of comedy. I'm watching, you know, comedians do certain things. I'm watching specials, and I'm like, holy God, you know, like there's certain comics that come out and they kill it, and they're doing it in a new way that's just like, oh man. And there's certain comics that I'm wondering why hasn't the world discovered this comedian? Yeah. They're so good. I will give you one of these names. Fahim Anwar. Fahim Anwar.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you see him on the lineup at the Comedy Store, holy crap, go see this guy. He is so damn good. And
he's been doing it for a while, right?
Yeah. And he's known, but he's not like
a household
sell out the theater known.
Right.
So
right, right.
Like, huh. Yeah. So he would be like the comics comic that is good for all audiences. So yeah, go see Fahim if you can. He's great.
Because you are constantly on the road, I can only imagine. Well, hopefully you've slowed down a little because there's a child that would also very much like some of your time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time to get us all on the up and up on how shit works here. We know as the audience, we don't know as the performer. Where are you performing? Mm-hmm. Where are we going to see you? Where can people look for you?
Okay. Well, if you're coming to Los Angeles, I'm actually headlining the Comedy Store in July, where I'm not just doing a 15-minute set. I'm doing my full hour.
All right.
Full hour.
Nice.
At the main room in the Comedy Store if you're coming to L.A. But, yeah, if you live all over the country, go to bradwilliamscomedy.com. I'm starting a theater tour July. We're going to Seattle. We're going to Minneapolis. We're going to Vancouver. There's a ton of theater shows and I'm doing a bunch of club dates as well. So, yeah, just bradwilliamscomedy.com. I always say, if I'm not coming to your town, wait, I'll get there.
Nice. Well said. Go check it in with you, buddy.
Yeah. Anything, dude, Brad.
This is like, you're like, oh, thanks for doing this. It's like, I get to talk comedy with two amazing people. Yes. Yes, please. This is so much better right now. My daughter is downstairs and she's watching a TV show on Amazon Prime called Blaze, and it's a horrible show and I don't like it. So I'm so glad to be up here talking with you guys and having these kind of conversations.
I'm glad we can help.
We love you. Follow Brad on Twitter, on everywhere, Funny Brad. Of course, you can mm-hmm. follow us, Bald Brian, Gina Grad. If there's anything more that you want to know about comedy, I don't know, ask someone else, because we've given you everything. We've bared our souls today.
DM me. Slide into my DMs. It's slide fine. Into, I'll
yeah, his wife
questions.
Will love that. If you want to watch us, so you can actually see the super cute hat that Brad's wearing. I don't know. I don't think Brian and I have much to offer today in terms of video, but go check it out. YouTube.com/Los Angeles Magazine videos. And Brad, thank you for the time. It's nice to know, one or two people at the top.
First of all, when you meet those people, let me know. I'd like to say hi to them.
We'll introduce not there. You.
I'm working at it, and I'm glad you guys are in our earbuds again, because the world definitely needs you. So I'm happy to be on the podcast.
You're the best. We'll talk to you soon.
Good talk, anybody.
Thank you for listening to The Brian and Gina Show. To get in touch with the hosts or buy their books, hit them up at Bald Brian and at Gina Grad on Twitter and Instagram, or by email at podcasts@lamag.com. To get connected with LA Magazine, hit them up at LA Mag on Twitter and Instagram. Talk soon.